Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
He's getting beat like he's done something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown, Clemson, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast, really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle, I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5. The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're live in a Priority One Security Studios where security is their first priority. A happy Friday, March the 16th, 2018. Second day of madness. First day of a post-Arizona world, ladies and gentlemen. First day in a post-Arizona universe. Where basically Arizona's entire program, which program will have fewer scholarship players next year, Arizona or Pittsburgh? Which one?
Probably still Pittsburgh. Probably Pittsburgh.
Did you see the story in Pittsburgh this morning?
8 players are leaving.
8 players.
That's insane.
Now, we'll get into Arizona because I think you can make the argument that Arizona had the single worst tournament performance in the history of the NCAA tournament. Relative to expectations and relative to the seeding and relative to who they could be and maybe should be, Arizona's losing its entire starting five and all 3 of its committed recruits have decommitted since the Sean Miller ESPN report.
That's terrible.
So they may not have any players
but
either.
But don't you think, I mean, I would assume that Arizona's reserves are probably a little more talented than Pittsburgh's, considering an 0-18 ACC record.
I don't know. How many players did Arizona play last night? Like 7? 8? Like they didn't play a bunch of guys last night.
If you play for Arizona, more likely than not, you're
better
currently
than Pittsburgh.
More talented than anyone who plays for Pittsburgh. That being said, Arizona's dead to me and I hate them. And I hate myself for picking them. And I'm salty this afternoon, Kwok. You and I both did well yesterday. We both
went
13-3.
Yes.
My problem is your girl has Arizona in the Final Four, like an idiot. So I can't even be happy with myself with my U of H pick or my Loyola pick or Bama or whatever because Arizona has ruined everything. And the Pac-12, we're talking about Arizona and how they might, you know, this is one of their most embarrassing losses ever. And can they continue to exist as the program they are? The Pacific 12 Conference should just be dismantled and blown up. Okay, I just need to get that off my chest.
So you're that mad.
Can I just real
about
quick,
Arizona?
Let me get this off my chest.
Okay.
About the Pac-12.
Go ahead. I know you've got some thoughts on it, so go ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, if you don't include the first four, because UCLA and Arizona State both lost in those, it took 12 hours for the Pac-12 to be eliminated from the NCAA tournament. That's terrible. Continuing on, Pac-12, your second place team in your league did not get in the tournament. That should have been your first warning. That you're terrible, you know? No other Power 6 conference, if we're counting the Big East when it comes to basketball, has failed to send a team to the round of 32 since the Big 12 formed in 1996. That is terrible. I think from now on, I'm going to use the term Power 5 in reference to basketball. And just know that when I use the term Power 5, the Pac-12 is not included. A few more things about the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has not made a college football playoff since 2014. They have not won a football national championship since 2004. They have not won an NCAA basketball national championship since 1997. And this year they were 1-8 in bowl games. Thanks to Utah for winning their one bowl game. They're a disgrace.
So you're really mad about the Pac-12.
Oh, I'm mad.
You think the Pac-12 should be disbanded?
I don't particularly care because I don't have any emotional ties to the Pac-12. That being said, I think just right now in the moment, I am still so mad about Arizona that I'm taking it out on the entire Pac-12. But when you look at the Pac-12, look, I'm sure the Pac-12 is great at volleyball and they're great at rowing and they're great at tennis. And that's great. And I support you 100%. But when you're this bad at the two most high profile sports in this country, how can you continue to be a Power Five league or considered a Power Five league?
Couple things on this Pac-12 thing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm off base.
I think you're 100% right about the Pac-12. Here's what happened. Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, was like at the forefront of college athletics and garnered a lot of respect years ago. Because he would remember when the Pac-12 was the one that was talking about expansion and they did expand to 12?
Yes.
Like they used
to be the Pac-10.
Doing that with the, you know, with the ACC. And there was also the idea that the Pac-12 could push to 16. And as the SEC was trying to expand and the Big 12 was trying to expand, the Pac-12 was also trying to expand and basically go down and scarf up Texas and become the Pac-16. They also developed a network about the same time as the Big 10. With the goal of becoming a national force because they were being, I think probably Larry Scott saw that they were being more and more regionalized and marginalized. Here's what's happening. If you look at where people are at the states where population decline is happening, and I don't have it in front of me. I'm just kind of trying to access this in my brain. I'm pretty sure California is like number one of the states that people are leaving. Like, what was once a population center like L.A., San Diego? Like, people are moving from these population centers because taxes are high and traffic's bad and whatever. Like, people are moving for all sorts of reasons. And they're moving away from the Pac-12 region of the country, and they're moving into other regions. In the middle of the country or the East Coast or what have you, the West Coast of the United States is not the destination that it once was for people. So if you're a kid, if you're 16, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, and you're very talented at sports, there was a very, very large chance that you were on the West Coast already. Now, there's still a pretty good chance, but it's much less.
Yes, but Los Angeles is still the second biggest city in the country.
Right, but it's still, like, you can see the shift toward the middle of the country, toward places like maybe Arizona, where, yes, the Pac-12 could get those players, but Texas could also get those players.
Isn't California still the biggest state in the country per population?
I'd have to look at it. I just saw a stat where population decline is real in California. Like a few months ago.
I guess so. I know it's very expensive to live there.
So you've got this network that's yet to find a stranglehold that they've invested a lot of money in and they expected to reap the rewards of that investment. Hasn't happened. Their partners have basically pushed them to the margins of television where you are being shown now in windows that don't matter. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. So you're not getting any exposure for your league. The best exposure you get in terms of your primetime window is a Friday night or a Thursday night or something like that in football. And in basketball, people go to bed before your games are on.
Yep.
And you're still competing with like the Gonzagas and St. Mary's of the world. And then there's this. UCLA drops off under Ben Howland. You got coaches like Lorenzo Romar who drop off at Washington. Ernie Kent drops off at Oregon. Dana Altman comes up. And let's not mistake this. The Pac-12 just last year had a team in the Final Four.
Yes,
with
Oregon. Yes.
So it's not like Pac-12 basketball is on this steady decline, and we've seen this coming for a long time. From all the way from the top on down. This is a bad year in the league, and a lot of it is because Sean Miller did a really bad job coaching his team. Let's be real. I mean, to me, last night, I tweeted a bunch of times about it. This is one of the most disgraceful displays I've ever seen. That was a team that had no interest in playing hard. If you watch the two teams play, Buffalo wanted it on defense. Their activity was good. Arizona with 2 7-footers. I watched 6'3 guys drive right around 2 7-footers and lay the ball up off the glass last night like those guys were statues. I think the talent waste at Arizona is one of the great malpractice coaching jobs that we've ever seen in the history of sports from Sean Miller. And I've not been to jump on the Sean Miller hate bandwagon. I've not been that guy over time. I've not been the guy that said, well, look at, because he's lost a double-digit season now in the last 3 years, but I've not been the guy that's just, you know, reamed him out and jumped down his throat for losing those games. But this year?
Yeah, this year he deserves it.
This year, I mean, people are legitimately talking after the game, and I didn't want to be prisoner of the moment, but enough people said it that I'll ask the question. I think that was the worst loss I've ever seen by any NCAA tournament team in the first round. I don't think with my eyes I've ever seen a performance like that where we told you, we talked about this and we both agreed that Buffalo seemed like a pretty good team. It had some firepower and they'd been in the tournament and they won the MAC outright and this was not a team to be trifled with. But we didn't love the matchup because Arizona guarded last week. They decided to guard in a Pac-12 tournament. And ultimately, we thought that would carry over to the NCAA tournament. They would guard some. Not the case. They didn't guard a soul last night. Buffalo shot like 70% from two against a team with 2 7-footers where their tallest rotation piece was 6'10", and he barely played.
Let's not get it twisted, though, about the Pac-12 because I know Oregon made the Final Four last year, and that's fine. Before last year, the Pac-12 had not made a Final Four since 2008. 10 years.
10 years.
One Final Four team, and it's Oregon. And back in 08, it was UCLA. Besides, UCLA hasn't been any good. Last year, they made what? The Sweet 16? No, they made the Elite Eight.
That's right, the Elite Eight.
And that's fine. Yeah, the Ball Brothers, whatever. The Pac-12 is Arizona. If Arizona does not go anywhere, it doesn't matter. Yes, Oregon made the Final Four last year. They had a great run. They caught lightning in a bottle. It was great for Oregon. That's fine. They didn't make tournament this year. When you've made one Final Four in 10 years, I don't know if it's just a one-year problem because that league has literally been Arizona and nobody else. So I think it's more than just, oh, it was a bad year for the Pac-12. You've made one Final Four in 10 years, and that was an Oregon team that got hot.
I think there's all kinds of problems with the Pac-12. Like I said, Larry Scott, well-respected among Pac-12, you know, among commissioners, had a forward-thinking approach with the TV channel, but nobody can watch that channel.
Yep.
So it's, you know, as opposed to the Big Ten Network, who had a TV channel that has taken off and really helped aid the exposure of the league, in this particular case, you've got the Pac-12 Network, which seems to be an albatross around the league. That's keeping it regional, that's keeping it marginal, and not allowing it to flourish. Providence, by the way, scores the first basket. They're taking on Texas A&M today. 12-15 was a tip there. A&M a 58% chance of winning, according to 538. I have A&M winning because I don't trust either one of these teams, and A&M guards better.
Vic gets in on Twitter, and I think he's right with this. He says he's a Pac-12 guy. California has by far the highest population, 10 million more than Texas. It does. It has nearly 40 million people, and they can't be good at anything?
Well,
that's why it's something systematic. It's something with the conference or the lack of exposure or the coaches they've brought in. I feel like I'm not going to buy this theory that everyone's leaving California and there's no talent. I'm not going to buy that theory.
Well, and Vic also says this, and this is true, that other population, I'm basically talking about California because a lot of the time when the Pac-12 is good, that means UCLA or USC
yes.
are good
or
in whatever sport it is.
Teams get their athletes from California.
Correct.
You get a great athlete from California if you're Oregon or Arizona or whatever.
But Arizona, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Nevada are all going up, and that's true. I'm looking at some stats now. That's true, and Vic points it out on Twitter, that other population centers are seeing rises in population as California loses it.
Sure.
You just feel like as time goes on, unless there's some sort of a change, there's coaches who aren't staying. Quanzo Martin left Cal for Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
For SEC money.
Willie Taggart left Oregon right away.
Immediately.
Didn't even want to consider staying there.
You got Lorenzo Romar, who was very good at Washington, and all of a sudden wasn't very good. Did he forget how to coach, or did other things hamper him? Are our administrations cash-strapped now because the conference isn't subsidizing their operations like maybe they thought they would with some of the advancements that they made? I think the Pac-12 got serious questions.
I think I think the problem is more than just people are leaving California.
Correct.
That's not the problem.
Let's go to Delvin real quick before we take our first break. Brett Friedlander going to join us in our next segment, Talking Hoops. What's up, Delvin?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah. So Kelly, basically, what you're saying is that the American Conference is now part of Power Five. So they've been going on this crusade by the Power Six.
I would say in college football we have a Power Four. In college basketball we have a Power Five, and we include the Big East. The Pac-12 is not neither of those.
So you're saying American still can't get a shot?
Well, because the American's not going to get anybody in the playoff. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but I agree with you about Arizona, man. I mean. Wow. Doesn't necessarily, I mean, it seemed like to me that DeAndre Ayton was like, hey, man, I'm just playing this game so I can go to the NBA. Because he made that decision real quick, so he knew he was going to play this game real good. He said, I'm out of here. And not to have any players coming back next year, all your players, they don't got no recruiting class.
You're right. They have no recruiting class. And I will say this. I think with UCLA, you could see that there's a little bit of a prima donna in a couple of these teams. UCLA, Aaron Holiday had big time, like the Trae Young disease that we talked about yesterday at the end of the game. We was just hoisting. Aaron Holiday committed like 19 offensive fouls trying to do way too much at the end of the UCLA game. Steve Alford let him do it. I thought Alonzo Trier committed malpractice last night by not giving the ball to Ayton and Ristich, the seven-footers against a team with two players over 6'6", and one of them barely played. I mean, I thought that was malpractice, and Ayton screaming for the ball, and he keeps hoisting and turning the ball over. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of that in this league where you don't have great coaching that's building teams. You have great players who are trying to go to the NBA, and maybe that's a cultural thing out west. I don't know.
Yeah, did you hear what the Buffalo coach said there? They gave him players to wear them out. Cause he said they knew they had no much depth on their team.
Yeah, he was he was Van Delvin. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. He was very adamant about having a better team.
Quark, per Delvin's point, a texter does point out that the 2017 national champions UCF play in the American. So
that's true.
Maybe you do put American in the Power Five.
Would you see the point that you're kind of being a prisoner of the moment right now, saying that the Pac-12 is dead to everyone because
I will say that
Oregon played for a natty in the playoff era, and Washington's been there, went to a Final Four.
I think, yes, I'm letting my emotions get the best of me, but is there of the Power Five leagues, the Pac-12 has performed the worst?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
10 years?
Would we, I mean,
if you're talking championships, Final Fours, playoffs, championships.
What about the Big Ten?
The Big Ten has Ohio State.
Okay.
Which won them a national title. They've been to not this past playoff, but the previous two. They didn't score a point, but that's beside the point.
The Big Ten has the highest paid coach.
Yes. We could talk about how they technically have a national title because Louisville...
they lost again. I'm not giving Michigan the title.
Michigan, those two Wisconsin teams were very relevant. Probably should have won at least one national title in those two stretches. I mean, the Big Ten hasn't won a national title in a while in basketball, but they've been there.
They've been to
the Final Four.
We can't just act like we hadn't been pounding the Big Ten for like half a decade.
The Big Ten had two Final Four teams in 2015, a Final Four team in 2014, a Final Four team in 2013, a Final Four team in 2012. I mean, they're relevant. A Final Four team in 2010. The Pac-12 literally did not have a Final Four team from 08 to 17. And actually, the Pac-10 had a Final Four team in 08. The Pac-12 has produced one Final Four team.
The worst team in basketball, or the worst conference in basketball this year is the Pac-12. Yes. The second worst was the Big Ten.
Who was the worst conference in football this year?
Pac-12. But that's 1 year. It's 1 year in a big...
It's not like it just came out of nowhere and we thought, oh, what in the world happened? It's been an issue.
Has it? Not like this. We haven't been saying, gosh, is the Pac-12 down for 10 years? We haven't been saying it. We've been saying about the Big Ten. We got to go to Brett. Okay. We got to pick this up later. Yes. We got Brett coming up in the next segment, too. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds in a moment.
Granger Nissan of Anderson, a proud sponsor of the Clemson Tigers, would like to say thank you to all their customers and invite all fans to shop with them. Granger Nissan of Anderson has the winning combination of huge selection, super low prices, and paying more for your trade. Plus, Granger Nissan of Anderson beats the competition by giving you a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Nissans. Located on Clemson Boulevard and always open at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
It's a great time to buy from George Coleman Ford, where SUVs cost less and travelers rest. 2018 Explorer XLTs, only $29,999. You heard that right. Only $29,999. That price includes $3,500 in total rebates, plus tax and tag. And remember this, George Coleman Ford never sticks you with any hidden dealer fees. Check out their near-perfect customer service scores online at George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers rest.
Retirement Funding Advisors works with you to ensure the smooth and consistent operation of your retirement plan. A qualified retirement plan is a valuable benefit, from attracting new employees to showing your employees that you care. A great retirement plan is a rewarding experience for everyone. A successful retirement plan meets the needs of your employees by giving them the tools to save for retirement. Get all the help you need with Retirement Funding Advisors by calling 864-252-4694.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
Reed's Jewelers invites you to their Diamond Design Show this Saturday at Haywood Mall. Designer a brand new ring or transform an old one into a new heirloom. A craftsman jeweler will be in store to create your customized personal design with same-day turnaround. This is your opportunity to show her how much you love her by taking advantage of this very special day. This Saturday, the redesign event, Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reeds.com.
Hello, this is John LaHoop, the executive director of Clemson Downs. The Tigers are heading to the big dance in college basketball, and we're very excited. We join Tiger fans nationwide in congratulating Coach Brownell and his team on the crowning achievement. Clemson Downs is the only continuing care retirement community in the Clemson area. For information on memory support, visit ClemsonDowns.com or call 654-1155. We'd be glad to give you and your loved one a tour of our community. What a year for Clemson hoops. Go Tigers!
Guys, regain your confidence and performance in the bedroom with the Gainswave therapy at New Haven Medical Services in Seneca. Gainswave is a revolutionary ED treatment that's a non-invasive and pain-free procedure that makes you perform better and last longer. To see if Gainswave is right for you, call New Haven Medical Services at 885-2000. Call the number that will make you live happier, 885-2000. New Haven, new you.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
You should think of my work as wordless sound poems.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
What do you mean?
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. We'll continue this debate about the Pac-12. And I just, when you look at the future of Arizona, you got to think Sean Miller's like, I mean, Pittsburgh's got to wait on Sean Miller, right, to be fired with cause. Sean Miller, I tweeted this last night, Sean Miller's going to be begging for a with cause firing after this. Remember how he gets $5 million more if he's fired with cause than without?
The Sean Miller situation makes it even worse. I mean, is there a basketball program in the Pac-12 that you look at and you say, the future's bright?
Maybe Arizona State with Hurley.
Sure.
I like Arizona State.
I would say that's
State.
One.
I mean, I don't think UCLA's terrible, although they're a little more veteran than they might seem. They got some guys coming back that I think are pretty good. If they can get Holiday to the NBA.
If you want to bet on UCLA, you go for it.
I wouldn't want to.
There you go.
And it doesn't help that Arizona and USC, the two programs that maybe had the brightest futures this year, were both implicated in the FBI stuff.
Exactly. That doesn't help at all.
Maybe you have to cheat to win there.
We'll continue this at some point. We got to get into the games. But I think the bottom line with the Pac-12 that you and I can both agree on is that, to a certain extent, the fan bases of a lot of those schools out there just do not care.
They don't care.
And that could be a problem.
That's why they can't keep coaches, and that's why players don't want to go there.
College sports are not ingrained in the culture of the West Coast like they are in other parts of the country.
I agree with that, especially with the millennials.
Oh,
we all
the
know
millennials.
We hate the millennials. We hate them. Brett Friedlander, I pity him in this game, pitting two teams that I hate, Providence and Texas A&M. But he's going to have a fun day at the Charlotte Regional, and he joins us right now live from there. What's up, Brett?
Well, the worst part about this matchup is that you got to spend 2 hours trying to not get creeped out by the Providence mascot and listening to the Texas A&M band play the Yogi Bear theme over and over and over. I think it's the only song that band knows. So, yeah. And listen, going back to Sean Miller, a caveat emptor on him, because there's a real good chance he's going to end up with a show cause from the NCAA. And then your program, especially if you're Pitt, where everybody's like abandoning ship faster than the Titanic, then you might end up in an even worse position. And I think that guy's toxic, to be honest with you.
I don't disagree with that. We'll talk about that a little bit more, too, because of certainly his ties to Pitt and whatnot. What do you make of – there's so much stuff we could talk about. Just quickly, what do you make of this Pitt thing where, like, eight players going to transfer out? I mean, is this a job that anybody wants right now?
Well, I don't know. See, I thought Tom Crean would have been a great fit there. Apparently, he's going to Georgia. But, you know, here's the thing about those eight players asking for their releases. They haven't actually transferred yet, but they've been granted their release. So if you're Pittsburgh's administration, you say, okay, well, we're going to grant you your release, but before you make a decision, wait till we get a coach in here, and maybe, you know, he can recruit you, and maybe you'll be feeling a little bit better about our program when we get a new coach in here. Because to be honest with you, I think there are some people out there who would be really good fits. Danny Hurley, for one. How about Wes Miller at UNC Greensboro, for another? I mean, there are guys out there who would, I think, be a very good fit at that job. But if it's going to be an expansion program where, you know, you're basically, you know, retooling, maybe hiring Sean Miller and getting, you know, giving him an open checkbook to go pay $100,000 to the best prospect to bring them all in, you get a whole bunch of free agents. Maybe that's the way to go. But, you know, there should be guys who want that job. It's a good job. It's an ACC job where they've won before. But in its current state, it's kind of a dumpster fire, and it's, buyer beware.
Shifting gears a little bit to the teams actually in the tournament, Brett, I want to get to the Virginia thing and your thoughts there, but first let's talk about what happened yesterday. Four ACC teams played. Three of them lost. You could say they all lost sort of coin flip games, and Miami losing the buzzer, and in Virginia Tech and NC State losing. Duke the only one that won. What's your thoughts on the day around the league yesterday?
Well, I mean, NC State is one that really just kind of, it's a classic case of a team feeling like it accomplished something just by getting there. I mean, Kevin Keats gave that little speech after the last regular season game when they beat Louisville about how the NC State stuff is dead, you know, but you got to be careful because karma can bite you in the butt. I mean, you know, Clemsoning didn't die until they won a national championship, and NC State hasn't won anything yet. And by basically declaring all that and, you know, telling everybody how great a season they've had before the postseason, it almost like invited his players to say, yeah, we've accomplished something, take a deep breath. And, you know, they just did not play well and just were not the same team either in the ACC tournament or this tournament. As far as Miami is concerned, you know, they beat North Carolina on senior day on a half-court buzzer beater. So, you know, it goes around, comes around. They got beat on a buzzer beater that if, you know, their star freshman would have made two free throws, or at least one free throw, would never have been in position to lose that game. And then Virginia Tech, it was a toss-up game. Alabama, the Sexton kid had a great game. Like you said, those are toss-up games. And they all seem to go against the ACC, but at least it was Duke. So the ACC isn't the Pac-12.
Far from it, I would say, Brett. You have two more toss-up games today with the ACC, featuring the ACC, and then, of course, the Clemson game, which many people think is a toss-up for some reason. What do you think about Florida State's chances against Missouri with the healthy Michael Porter? Does that change things a bit? And can Florida State win that first-round game?
Well, Florida State is kind of an enigma because they're long and they're athletic and they're talented and they should be better than they are. And so if they play at the top of their game, they're going to win. the thing about Missouri is, and I look back to the year Kyrie Irving missed most of the regular season at Duke, and they brought him back for the postseason. And basically, the team that they had developed during the season changed personality, and they really had no idea who they were. Kyrie got his, and they ended up getting blown out by Arizona in the Sweet 16. I kind of look at this Missouri team in sort of the same light. They brought Porter back, but really, you know, who are they, and how does he fit in? And I don't know that's a good situation for a team trying to figure out in a one-and-done situation. So I think Florida State's going to win that game. I have no idea why the Clemson game is considered a toss-up. That should be a slam dunk. I think they're going to win and win emphatically. And Carolina's playing a Lipscomb team that is a 15 seed. But, you know, it's a team that wants to run. It's a team that's going to play right into Carolina's hands. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that game ends up being like 120-97 Carolina. So I think the ACC is going to have a much better day today in answer to your question.
All right, I know a lot of people freaked out, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on because I've got some thoughts on this. I did not change any of my prognostication in terms of how far Virginia went after the news that DeAndre Hunter would be out for the tournament with the wrist because I didn't trust anybody else in that regional. What is a reasonable and acceptable response of people? What have you said sort of in your mind about adjusting expectations for Virginia given that injury, Brett?
DeAndre Hunter is a good player. He's an important part of that program, but he's not one of their marquee players. Yeah, he's a big body that's going to give them some minutes, especially in a game where they're going to play big guys, you know, like a Duke or a team that really is a strong inside presence. I don't think losing him is going to be a death blow. I just think that they're so good it's not a Dante Grantham situation. It's a role player off the bench, basically. Listen, I have a different opinion of Virginia now than I did before Brooklyn. Sitting on the court where I was right there, you know, close to the action, I got a much better kind of angle and view of Virginia. And, you know, we get distracted by how they play defense. But that's a very efficient offensive team. I heard Kenny Smith talking about Virginia on TV, and he was very uninformed because he said, well, they're the kind of team that has to pass the ball 9 times before they get a shot. That's not the way it works. What they're going to do is they're going to run their offense, they're going to cut, they're going to screen, and they're not going to take a shot that you want them to take. They're going to hold on to the ball until they get the shot that they want to take. And usually it's at the end of the shot clock because what happens after playing about 23, 24 seconds of defense, somebody is going to miss an assignment. Somebody's going to get a little lazy. And, you know, Kyle Guy's going to get open. He's going to get that three because, you know, when you leave him open, he's deadly. Or Jerome is going to find, you know, Isaiah Wilkins or Salt or Devin Hall inside and get a basket at the rim. They are so efficient. They don't turn the ball over. And they are true to what they do. And, you know, I think if they played a faster tempo, they would score up in the 80s, you know, maybe the 70s and the 80s. But because they play the tempo that they do and they play the kind of defense that they do, the number of possessions are limited. So that keeps the score down. And so I think that people get distracted by that. I think they're a much better offensive team than me or anybody else has given them credit for. I think people need to watch what they do offensively, and I think that they'll have a different opinion of them.
NSAOnline.com, he writes for the North State Journal. He is Brett Friedlander. I can't speak at all, apparently. At BFried ACC on Twitter. March does this. It ties your tongue a little bit. You were very emphatic about Clemson in your earlier statement that the Tigers, you think, are going to win comfortably. How far do you see this Clemson team going down in the Midwest Regional?
Well, they didn't get any breaks from the committee. They are in the most loaded region in the bracket. I mean, they're in a bracket with, obviously they're on the other side of the bracket, but you got Duke, you got Michigan State, you got Kansas. I think they play Kansas. Would that be the Sweet 16 that they would play Kansas?
That's correct. Yes.
I think they play that game, and I think they got a shot to win it. But I think that's where it ends. And even if they do beat Kansas, I don't see them beating either Duke or Michigan State, probably Michigan State in this particular scenario where those teams are veteran NCAA tournament teams. They know how to handle the stress. They know how to not look ahead. Oh, my God, we can go to the Final Four if we win this game and get spaced out by the moment. I think Clemson wins at least two games in this tournament and possibly three. I'd say two is more realistic, but listen, that's a pretty darn good season considering where people thought they were going to be. And you know what? Like I said, I give them a puncher's chance to beat Kansas if it gets there. And who knows if even Kansas is going to be there. The way things have been going, you know, no telling what happens. You know, bracket could blow up very easily.
And no doubt about that. All right, one more for you, Brett. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Of all the ACC teams in the tournament, given all their respective draws and all their ability levels and the things you've seen and things that you think you're going to see, which one will be the last one left standing in your mind?
I think Virginia is definitely going to San Antonio and has a real good shot at winning the thing. And I tell you something else. Just because of the draw that they got, and this is how important that semifinal game in Brooklyn at the ACC tournament between Duke and North Carolina was. Because of the draw that North Carolina got and the way, you know, their bracket almost blew up yesterday with Gonzaga getting beat by UNCG and then coming back and winning, I think the Tar Heels have got a really good shot to get there. Now, they could go out on Sunday against either Providence or Texas A&M, but I just think the way this is set up, I mean, they've got a Michigan team that, A, may not be there. I mean, Houston could beat them in the next round, but they beat them by 20 in Chapel Hill. They play in Ohio. You know, there's an Ohio State team that they've already beat. The number one seed is just an absolute fraud. I mean, Xavier is not on one seed. And then, on the other side of the bracket, you got a Gonzaga team that is good and has a history, but is not as good as they were last year. So I think Virginia's definitely going to be there, and I think Carolina's got a real shot.
He is Brett Freelander,
ladies. Not because they're the best team, but because they got the best draw.
Look, I don't disagree with that they got a very favorable draw by all accounts. There's no doubt about that, especially relative to teams like Virginia and Duke. Brett Freelander, ladies and gentlemen, join us live from the Charlotte Regional. We'll let you get back to it, Brett. We appreciate it. Best of luck covering the events all day today. Look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right, Brett Freelander, join us here on the program, NSJOnline.com, at BeFreed ACC on Twitter. We'll go to the phones and we come back. 654 Roar is the number. We're talking Pac-12. We're talking Arizona. And right now we're talking Providence, an 18-15 lead over Texas A&M in that Charlotte. Is it the regional? What do you call these first and second round? It's not really the Charlotte regional.
No, call it the Charlotte first and second round.
The Charlotte first and second round extravaganza.
Yeah, I like
in
that.
In Charlotte. So we'll get back to that. Purdue and Cal State Fullerton underway. Purdue on a pace to shut out Cal State Fullerton. They lead after 90 seconds, 4-0. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds. Kelly has a stat for all the games. We'll get to those through the show. And we have a mascot bracket as well. We're going to do that later on. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds in just a moment.
The conference championship have now been settled, and now comes the big one. Follow the Tigers on their path through the NCAA tournament field in hopes of making history from the first tip to the final buzzer. Catch all the action right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch the Tigers first round action this Friday, starting at 9:30 with the pregame, right here on the flagship station of Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Nothing is more frustrating than having a garage door with a mind of its own. Doesn't always go up, won't come down, stops in the middle, and you have to limbo in or out. Not fun. Wayne's Overhead Garage Door is here to rescue you. Wayne's has been handling overhead garage door problems since 1975. More than 40 years of sales and service. That shows you they know what they're doing and they put the customer first. Dependable, on time, and professional. Call Wayne's Overhead Door at 226-9096.
The Bojangler Fish Filet Sandwich is back at Bojangler's. Only available for a limited time.
First Team Sports has the all-new 2018 baseball and softball equipment. Easton, Rawlings, DeMarini, Mizuno, and more. There's no risk of buying something and it not being exactly as you want because they have an in-house batting cage to try out bats and gloves to get that perfect true custom fit. First Team Sports is the place to get your Letterman jackets because they can customize for any school or team. Be the first to equip your team with First Team Sports. 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 268-6227.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements. No one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
Would you like to regain your energy and strength and restore or increase your sex drive? Do you suffer from joint pain, anxiety, depression, and difficulty sleeping? Then bioidentical hormone therapy is right for you. Discover increased energy and muscle strength, greater ability to lose weight, increased mental clarity to help you age healthier and live happier. Call New Haven Medical Services in Seneca at 885-2000. That's 885-2000. Live happier at New Haven.
God gave you two opposable thumbs for a reason. The text line is always open. 864-986-1566.
Just hang loose, blood. She gonna catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack.
Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking, give me one and pass them. Drip, drip, drop, there goes an orgasm. Now you coming out the side of your face, we tapping right into your memory bank. Thanks. So click at the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fasten. Trunk rattling, like two midgets in the back seat wrestling. Speaker box vibrate the tag, make it sound like aluminum cans in a bag. But I know y'all want
it. All right, welcome back, glad to have you with us. Texas A&M takes the lead 21-20 over Providence with under five to play in the first. You got to love that. I don't like this. I don't like either one of these teams. I don't love it. Who did you pick in this?
I picked Providence because I just can't pick the Aggies. But
okay.
And I don't trust either team. You're exactly right.
Texas A&M's too big. They have no true point guard. Remember the one guy, the white guy with a mustache? The most wild west Texas looking guy ever.
Who was balding?
Caruso or whatever his name was.
He plays for the Lakers now.
Yeah, he was so important to Texas A&M, and they did not replace him. And now they just have a big lineup with three bigs. I mean, think about this is the place where Elijah Thomas came in with a lot of these guys.
He just tweeted, Giga Maggies.
Yeah, I mean, he went in with a lot of those guys, and it's easy to see why somebody was going to get lost in the shuffle because you can only play so many bigs at one time.
I only allow myself to do heart picks on some of those earlier games that you notice aren't going to matter down the stretch.
Yeah.
So if A&M is playing somebody, it's a 7-10, I'm taking the team playing A&M. You know?
What is...
I did that with Carolina last year, and it came back to bite me, obviously.
What is your number for A&M Providence and for Purdue Cal State Fullerton, where Purdue has a 6-5 lead at the 15:40 mark of the first half?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
A&M's Tyler Davis has put up 11 double-doubles, the second most in the SEC, and the Aggies might have the best rebounding duo in the tournament in Tyler Davis and Robert Williams, Davis averaging nearly 9 boards a game. So you talk about their size inside and their rebounding. That's the stat I have for A&M Providence.
Thanks very much.
Also, Providence, we thought it was Arizona State, but actually Providence is the lowest lowest RPI team to earn an at-large bid.
The lowest RPI team to earn an at-large bid. How about that?
Oh, no. Lowest in ESPN CB College Basketball Power Index.
So okay.
Whatever that is. Same thing, kind of. Not really.
Same thing.
But you get my point. And Arizona State both finding their way in, squeaking their way in. Providence, because they were hot down the stretch, I would say, found their way in.
I think that's right in the KenPom rankings, too. Providence, 65 in the KenPom. The next closest, they got an at-large with Syracuse at 52. So there was a fairly sizable
gap there. I think Arizona State
there.
Had the lowest RPI.
No, I'm sorry. St. Bonaventure now 68 in KenPom rankings.
Well, and they gone.
Yeah, they're done.
The Bonnies were a trendy pick.
They ran out of gas, though. They very easily ran out of gas. We'll go to the phones here in a second. Did you watch that game and just think about like the long, long droughts? Mm-hmm. You know, Florida just did. They were 20-9 and like never scored. And then St. Bonaventure went like 10 minutes without a basket and never scored. And then Florida didn't score for a little bit. And then St. Bonaventure didn't. It was like only one team scored at a time in that game. It was ridiculous, except from the foul line.
The Bonnies looked a little exhausted.
Yeah, they did. How's your bracket? What are your thoughts about the Tigers? We'll talk Clemson today. We've talked about them quite a bit, New Mexico State. We'll talk about the games coming up today as well. All the games from yesterday, 654 Roar is the number. Austin is up with us next on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Austin?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Going well. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. My bracket's doing pretty good. I think I was same with y'all, 13-3, I think, how I ended yesterday. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Clemson. Personally, I think that we are going to make it to at least the Kansas game, or, well, if Kansas makes it, you know, to that game. I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
And I hate this word as much as Dabo Swinney hates this word. But if we lose to New Mexico State, does the word Clemsoning come back for our basketball team?
I wouldn't say so. And the reason I wouldn't say so is because, number one, New Mexico State is a – like, I've talked about New Mexico State. Like, I don't think they're going to beat Clemson, just like I didn't think Davidson was going to beat Kentucky. And, I just don't think that you should feel threatened by these programs. Like, if you play well, you're going to beat them. That's my thought there. But New Mexico State's not bad. I mean, it's not like – look, I'll give it to you this way. I'm perusing Twitter this morning, and I can't remember exactly – who tweeted it, but somebody, I think it was a guest on a podcast or some radio program or something nationally, that said that in Vegas, they need Clemson to win so badly because New Mexico State is like 7-1 on the money line. Like, so many people are picking New Mexico State to win outright because they're a small underdog, so they're trying to play the odds and New Mexico State is a 12-5 upset and get in on a larger payout. So Vegas really needs Clemson to win. To me, that's not what it is. I looked this up the other day. In Brad Brownell's coaching tenure, okay, and this includes the NIT, just according to the KenPom rankings, the only time he's ever been knocked out of any postseason tournament by a team that he was better than was last year against Oakland. And I just think there were some mitigating circumstances there where they got up by a million. But the fact is, Brad Brownell has not made it a habit in Clemson basketball, except for an Oliver Purnell era where they lost as a better seed, has not made it a habit of losing to teams that they're worse than in the postseason. I just don't think that's the case. Okay. So no, I wouldn't associate that with the program if they lose today.
Awesome. I hate that word. And I was really hoping that it was not going to come back. So thank you for reassuring me on that fact. I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks very much, Austin. We appreciate the phone call.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good day and go Tigers.
All right. Thanks. You too. Same to you. I don't think it's a bad question. I just think it's a little bit flawed. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think you can apply that phrase, that word to a first-round exit for Clemson this year, if it were to happen, because it's your first time back in the tournament in 7 years. I think people are forgetting this, that this is arguably one of the best seasons in Clemson basketball history.
It's definitely the best team at Clemson in 20 years.
But even just, you've only finished in the top three in the ACC 8 times in 64 years, and one of them is this year. I just think you have to take a perspective into this tournament of what you've accomplished. And if you lose in the first round, really good programs lose in the first round all the time. Arizona just did it. You know, so I really don't think you can apply that term if for some reason Clemson would lose today.
I mean, look, Miami just lost to Loyola.
Sure, and Miami's a good basketball program.
I'll list off the teams that are, of the games that haven't started, that are less likely than Clemson as a higher seed to win today. Okay, there's 16 games today. Here are the teams that are less likely Clemson to win. This is according to 538. All right, Providence was one. They're up by a point. Arkansas has a 60% chance to lose, so they're actually an underdog according to 538. Nevada is an underdog according to 538 with a 40% chance of winning. Creighton, as an 8 seed, has a 58% chance of beating Kansas State. You have TCU's got a 56% chance of beating Syracuse, who's the worst offensive team in the field by leaps and bounds. And then you have Clemson at 62%. Basically, the only games that, I mean, like Auburn, Charleston's an 80-20 game, according to 538. Even Florida State over Missouri. Florida State, according to 538, 71% chance to win today. West Virginia, Murray State, 84-16. I don't think it'd be the end of the world if Clemson lost today in terms of a tournament standpoint. Unless they get bludgeoned to death, we're not looking at that. We're not looking at that narrative being a thing. You have the percentages of what's the percentage in the WCCP challenge? What percentage of people pick Clemson to lose? I'm curious.
I think it's a tad skewed.
Probably. A little bit.
In our bracket challenge, 92% of listeners pick Clemson to win.
I mean, on ESPN, I think it's like 73 or something like that.
92% is pretty high for a 12-5.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high. Clemson, 71.4% of the 17 million or whatever pick Clemson to win today. Mm-hmm.
But like you said earlier, with the Providence game, 61% of our listeners pick Providence.
Right.
Which is about even with what you were saying.
That's about even what they said. Let's go to Thirsty Mangus. I actually think A&M was favored in that. I think A&M was the 58-42, but I could be wrong. Thirsty Mangus up with us next. Final phone call this hour. Hello, Thirsty Mangus.
Hello, William. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm not doing great, William. I love basketball, but I have to admit, I hate March Madness. I watch over 100 games every season, and every season I get drugged in the bracket challenge by some 52-year-old woman in the finance department. I mean, who's bold enough to pick Buffalo, Quok? I'll tell you who. Sally in accounting.
Yes. Yes. Because she thought it was football and she picked the Bills.
I stayed up past my bedtime last night, Quok, and I woke up angry at DeAndre Ayton, and that's not normal. That's not healthy. I don't like March Madness. So, look for me. I'm doing well in the WCCP bracket, though. Have a good one, Quok.
Thanks, Thirsty. We appreciate that. It is one of those things where, like I saw one guy tweet today, I picked Arizona to go to the Final Four. My three kids picked Buffalo to win because they thought Buffaloes are neat.
Exactly. Our mascot bracket that we're going to unveil later on, you could pick some of the upsets today because you like their mascot. That's just how March Madness works, but that's why I love it, because it appeals to everybody, even Sally in accounting. And good for you, Sally, if you pick Buffalo. I think that is a bold pick. I'm sure you had your reasons, and you better just enjoy it because that was a great pick.
Also a great pick going with Total Wireless and our friend Jack, who loves to fix your broken phone. Are you for real? Are you serious? Are you willing to admit this on air?
It's time. I called Total Wireless this morning. I'll be heading there after the show.
And why are you going to Total Wireless?
Because my phone is as much of a disgrace as the Pac-12 conferences.
Yeah, you've done a worse job managing your phone, arguably, than Sean Miller has done a job managing Arizona's roster.
Yeah, he has a bigger budget, but, you know.
That's true. They can fix your broken phone, whether it's your screen or your battery or the overall functionality, or in Kelly's case, all the above. They can fix it for you. They also can fix your tablet, your laptop, your computer. Save money on your plan and your phone in 2018. Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, all there. Compare and save big. No contracts, no activation fees, no strings attached, no fine print. They can get it done for you. I can promise you that. Compare and save at Total Wireless and Easy. They've got a new location, 6932 Highway 123 in Easley. Like them on Facebook. Check out their latest deals. Total Wireless is totally great. Purdue with a lead over the Cal State Fullerton team that they're facing, 11-10. A&M up by one. Hour two coming up next.
Safely in the Priority One studios, we are WCCP Clemson Greenville.